Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation as we ponder the question of whether or not everything that happens in this world serves God's purposes. But first, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who dwells in us and amongst us to lead your people through Scripture in the ways of life everlasting. And so be with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading for today is from 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 7 to 15, and I'm reading from the NIV. Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, or Syria, was ill. When the king was told, "The man of God has come all the way up here," he said to Hazael, "Take a gift with you and go to meet the man of God. Consult the Lord through him. Ask him, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" Hazael went to meet Elisha, taking with him as a gift 40 camel loads of all the finest wares of Damascus. He went in and stood before him and said, "Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has sent me to ask, 'Will I recover from this illness?'" Elisha answered, "Go and say to him, 'You will certainly recover.' But the Lord has revealed to me that he will in fact die." He stared at him with a fixed gaze until Hazael felt ashamed. Then the man of God began to weep. "Why is my Lord weeping?" asked Hazael. "Because I know the harm you will do to the Israelites," he answered. "You will set fire to their fortified places, kill their young men with a sword, dash their little children to the ground, and rip open their pregnant women." Hazael said, "How could your servant, a mere dog, accomplish such a feat?" "The Lord has shown me that you will become king of Aram," answered Elisha. Then Hazael left Elisha and returned to his master. When Ben-Hadad asked, "What did Elisha say to you?" Hazael replied, "He told me that you would certainly recover." But the next day he took a thick cloth, soaked it in water, and spread it over the king's face, so that he died. Then Hazael succeeded him as king. Just to there, and may God continue to bless his word to us now and always. To be sure, God has plans and purposes that go beyond the immediate picture that we have in front of us in our reading. Despite the activities of human beings, his plans and purposes ultimately will come to pass. Furthermore, God also knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is reflected in the appeal of the psalmist in Psalm 19, verse 13 to 14, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Now, our account is a fairly straightforward yet strange one. But before we embark on this discussion, it might be helpful to talk briefly about the great and generous gift being brought to Elisha in verse 9. We do not know if Elisha accepted the gift, but if his encounter with Naaman is anything to go by, he probably did not. So let's look at the size of the gift. One commentator says the following: "There is no reason to believe, as some commentators do, that these camels were loaded with all they could carry of the finest wares of Damascus. It was merely Ben-Hadad's desire for an extravagant outward display that sent the 40 camels. No doubt the royal present was really valuable, but the different articles of which it was composed were probably so distributed that each camel had but a small portion, and thus a caravan was brought into use. One who wrote long ago about such customs in the Middle East said, 'Through ostentation, that is boastful showiness, they never fail to load upon 4 or 5 horses what might easily be carried by one. In like manner, just as with the jewels, trinkets, and other things of value, they place in 15 dishes what a single plate could very well hold.'" End quote. And so this great show was probably not much of a show after all. Yet we do see that there was a desire in the king to know from God what was to become of him, and that was very real. Here then are a few points to note. First of all, God's purposes run deep. Hazael seems to be a fairly obscure person, but you will find, and perhaps your Bible makes the cross-references showing that God had already set the scene, knowing the hearts of men. Hazael, says one commentator, was to be God's scourge to Israel during the reigns of Jehoram, Jehu, and Jehoahaz. Elijah was commissioned to anoint him as one of the three ordained by God to complete the work of removing Baal worship from Israel that he had begun. And for this see in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah confronted and killed many prophets of Baal. See then what God says to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 17, after he had fled into the desert, trying to escape evil Queen Jezebel. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu." Actually, says one commentator, Elijah did only the last of these three directly, but he did the other two, that is Hazael and Jehu, indirectly through Elisha, his protege. It seems that God's purpose was to remove entrenched Baal worship from the northern kingdom of Israel, and in Israel's case, God used the Syrians. No matter what circumstances may look like, God still uses everything to accomplish his purposes. And so the next thing we discover is that desperate people will turn to God. Ben-Hadad wanted to know from the Lord if he was going to live. Remember that the word Lord, printed in small caps, means Jehovah, the God of Israel, and you will find that is the case in this verse. One of the purposes of this account was to show the first readers that Baal was a fake god of no consequence without any power whatsoever, and that Jehovah was the one true God to whom even the heathen enemies of Israel would turn. It was to rouse Israel and get them to realize that in Jehovah alone life could be found. This is not the first time that a Syrian had received some kind of help from Jehovah and Jehovah's servants. I have just mentioned Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. Why would they do this? Because they realized that Baal would not meet their needs, and that the prophet of Jehovah, Elisha, was a man of integrity, and God was with him. I suppose this challenges us to think of the extent to which our integrity as Christians may draw people to seek God's help through us. And so we should seek to be people of integrity and open to these possibilities. Thirdly, let's consider Elisha's word of healing. For all intents and purposes, God assured Hazael that Ben-Hadad would actually recover from his illness, that is, if not interfered with by any other event. So the question we might ask is this: was this an empty assurance from God? The answer must be not at all. It revealed God's desire, and the message was true. When Elisha said, "But the Lord has revealed to me that he will in fact die," ordinarily, this might mean that Ben-Hadad would die later of another ailment or through some other later event. It need not have meant right then and there. But the stirrings of the evil heart of Hazael were shown to Elisha in that same moment. He stares at Hazael until the man is embarrassed because the evil thoughts and intentions he had were being seen. Elisha weeps at this prophetic insight, knowing the ways of the world in which he lived and the cruelty of people. And so Hazael's designation by God to be the agent of Israel's punishment was coming into its own fullness. From 2 Kings chapter 10 to chapter 13, we read of Hazael's attacks on Israel that might be construed as the enemy simply attacking God's people, but instead we now see that God's people were being punished for idolatry and serving Baal. See, for example, what is said in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 3. "So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and for a long time he kept them under the power of Hazael, king of Aram, and Ben-Hadad, his son." With that said, finally, Are we able to say that Elisha prompted Hazael to act as he did? Again, no. Hazael's heart was already conceiving the plan. Prophecy needs no human aid to bring it to pass. Why? Because God is the author of those words and will ensure they come to pass. But here, Hazael, even though he was told that he would be king of Syria, saw fit to take this prophetic word and force it into reality in the most wicked of ways, murdering his king. In this bizarre fashion, he becomes God's agent, destined for infamy as he cruelly carries out his plans, not in the name of the Lord, but simply as an agent who was himself actually destined for destruction. Here's an interesting note on Hazael recorded by one commentary. Hazael's name also occurs in Assyrian cuneiform inscriptions as an opponent of Shalmaneser III from 841 BC onwards. Shalmaneser III was also a king of Syria. The wording of one text shows that the Assyrians not only knew Hazael to be a usurper, a son of a nobody, but that they also knew that his predecessor, Ben-Hadad, was the victim of foul play. And so the truth will always come to the surface. And as we come to an end then, what we can conclude from this strange story is that circumstances are not always what they appear to be. While men and women will plot and scheme in high places, none of their actions will ever overturn God's purposes and plans. They may appear to be doing just as they please, but ultimately they serve God's purposes, including being held accountable for their actions. For our part, we should never take this fact to mean that we can stand idly by and watch the wickedness of the world unfold around us. Where people do things that are in conflict with God's word, God's people must take a stand. And our task also calls us to be the bearers of a ready word from God, of hope and insight to those who seek God, of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where things are beyond our actions, we should pray, and then rest in the knowledge that God's purposes will ultimately prevail. And so may God help us to be his agents for the gospel's sake in our world. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that even when we cannot make sense of what is going on around us in our world, we can know this one thing, that you are in complete control. Help us to rest in that knowledge and not despair. You are our mighty fortress and our strong deliverer. Help us to boldly maintain a position of faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.